The following is brought to you by the Yoga Sanctuary, located in downtown Punta Gorda, Florida. Learn more by visiting our website, www.theyogasanctuary.biz.
Greetings, and welcome to Talk 3 in our 10-part series of basic mindfulness and meditation instruction. In today's talk, we'll explore that proliferation of thinking our mind does on autopilot. Imagine you're driving on a long trip that'll take 2 days to complete. It's early evening on the first day as you approach a large city. The hotel you've booked is on the other side of this city, and according to your GPS and fuel gauge, you'll be there in an hour with a couple of gallons of fuel left. You consider stopping for gas before you go through the city, but your very helpful co-pilot, the one who shares your last name and happens to be sitting next to you, convinces you to push on through and get gas when you stop for the night. After all, according to the GPS, the hotel is only 57 minutes away. Then, just as your GPS gives you a warning about an accident ahead, the traffic stops. You watch in amazement as all the green roads surrounding you on your navigation display begin changing from yellow to red. Gridlock. The previous freeway exit for the bypass route is 200 yards behind you. There's no way off for miles. After an hour of sitting, you begin to creep along. You're finally directed by the police to an off-ramp. The freeway will be closed for the next several hours. The GPS starts redirecting you, but every time you do as it says, it takes you to a new road that's filling up with traffic and stopping. It seems you aren't the only one being redirected by a GPS. About the same time your fuel low level warning light goes off, you realize the section of town you're in. Derelict cars line the street. A cluster of people appear to be pointing at your car as a young woman in very high heels and very short pants walks in front of your vehicle, forcing you to stop. Your mind is very busy. It proliferates with thoughts. Are my doors locked? Is there anyone blocking me? Can I get around this woman? Is there a police car in sight? Is the cluster of people staying put, or are they walking towards me? And so on. This useful and appropriate train of associated thoughts is necessary to make sure you don't end up an unfortunate story on the local news. At the same time, you may also be having a less than useful train of thinking going on. If only I'd stopped for gas, then I wouldn't have gotten the traffic alert before I missed the bypass. Why did I listen to my passenger? Why did the GPS direct me here? Stupid GPS. When this is all over, I'll give so-and-so a piece of my mind. This second train or proliferation of past and future thinking is very critical and negative, both of yourself, what you should have done, and others, what they should have done, none of which is helping you deal with the situation you actually have at the moment. This rapid-fire proliferation of thinking is taking place in our working memory. This is the part of our short-term memory that's concerned with immediate, conscious, perceptual, and linguistic processing. We have a limited amount of working memory available. In an emergency, is it wise to waste half of that mental capacity on woulda, coulda, shoulda, I'm so right, and just you wait thinking? Here's another example. Imagine a parent supervising a child at a playground. The child has managed to climb to the top of a ladder and appears to be in danger of falling. The parent's working memory is quickly saturated with thinking, both useful and not so useful. Thoughts like, should I climb the ladder and help, which is useful. I said, don't climb the ladder, which might be true, but does dwelling on it right now help? Is there anyone closer that can help? Also a useful thought. If only that child would do as I say. Again, not so useful. Imagine having the ability in real time to observe this process and choose the useful and necessary thoughts to engage while disregarding the others. Mindfulness makes us much more capable in an emergency by giving us this ability. This is one reason it's taught to military special forces units, Formula One driving teams, fighter pilots, and elite athletes, among others. We train our mind to discern useful from not so useful thoughts during meditation, as well as the ability to engage the appropriate ones. This new skill frees up working memory while, at the same time, making us more resilient and reducing our stress. Here's how we work with thoughts in our gym of awareness practice. When we sit down to meditate and our mind proliferates with less than useful thoughts, we feel we have no choice, as if we're a victim of our thinking mind. In order to improve our capacity to choose which thoughts we engage and which we abandon, we'll need to be able to recognize thoughts for what they actually are. They're just thoughts. It's just thinking. In the untrained junkyard dog of a mind, awareness and thinking are all tangled up, and reactivity sends it into a flurry of activity on autopilot. Believe it or not, awareness and thinking are not the same thing. Untangling awareness so it can observe thinking is what mindfulness meditation can train us to do. We practice over and over, bringing ourselves out of that proliferation of thoughts, concepts, and ideas, and back to the direct experience of what's actually going on. We're developing a new kind of mental muscle in meditation, as well as an awareness that's less entangled with thinking. Viktor Frankl, a psychiatrist and author who survived several Nazi prison camps during World War II, puts it this way. Between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Let's examine this statement a little closer. Between stimulus and the proliferation of thinking, and response, immediate autopilot reactivity, we pause to see our experience directly. We become curious. What's actually going on? Right here, right now. The opposite of that pause is reactivity, or the fight, flight, freeze response. Frequently, the quality of our awareness includes a sense or a feeling that everything we encounter requires an immediate knee-jerk reaction. With a momentary pause, awareness can see that reactivity, and if we can see it, we can do something about it. And instead of operating on autopilot, we have a choice. One of the most powerful tools for getting untangled from our reactive thinking during meditation is to simply label thoughts softly in your mind for what they are. Thinking. Thinking is happening. And then let go of the thinking and go back to the direct experience of breath in the body. Right here, right now. During meditation, we set the intention to stay put, to not move and resist the urge to scratch that itch. We also understand the tendency of awareness to jump onto trains of thought. At first, we won't realize it. We may ride that thought train for 10 seconds or 10 minutes. Then we wake up. We can see, oh, thinking is happening. Softly label it in the mind, thinking. Let it go and begin again. Back to your anchor of the breath, in the body. This is what we'll be working with as we begin today's meditation. Settle into a comfortable, alert posture. Gently close your eyes and relax the area around your eyes. Relax your jaw and shoulders. Relax your belly. Become aware of your body. Notice the body's posture. Notice the contact points of the body being supported. become aware of the sensations of the body breathing. The direct experience of the breath, wherever it's most pronounced for you. Just let the breath happen on its own. Breathing in, be aware. Breathing out, notice. Breathing out. Be curious. Where do you feel the breath? What does breathing feel like? When the mind wanders off into thinking, recognize that. Notice. Thinking. Mind wanders off. Label it. Thinking. Don't judge yourself. Simply start over. Lost in thought again. Softly label in your mind. Thinking. Recognize when thinking is happening. Come back to the breath, in the body, and begin again. Where is awareness now? Can you be curious about the breath? Just bring it back. As we end this meditation, you can slowly open your eyes. As you do this, notice how you feel. An important concept here is that the moment you can recognize thinking as thinking, you're no longer entangled in it, no longer on autopilot. This can be enough to interrupt that proliferation of not-so-useful thinking and give a momentary pause. Author Malcolm Gladwell points out that choking is about thinking too much. Panic is about thinking too little. Mindfulness allows us a space between choking and panic. In that space, we have a choice. Do we take appropriate action or simply react on autopilot and possibly regret the results later? The ability to observe the mind without getting jerked around by it is mindful awareness. I'll grant you that sometimes we need to react quickly in order to prevent disaster. Mindfulness doesn't rob you of this ability. But consider how often we react quickly when a pause would be a better choice. As you go about your daily life, notice the urges to react instantly, like when your phone rings or gives you a notification. And then, pause. Check in briefly to your direct experience, the breath in the body, your feet on the ground, you're back against a chair, and then proceed. Set the intention to add that pause between stimulus and response, and this will open up a whole new level of choice and freedom. That's all for now. Thanks for listening. I hope you find this useful.